Hey guys, welcome back to Young, Widowed, and Okay. This is Carly, your host. This week we are going to talk about an interesting topic, for me anyway, that I have termed postmortem sainthood. This is what I refer to as when people pass away, they take that old saying of like, don't speak ill of the dead to a whole new level and try to like wash away any struggles or flaws or quirks that the person had. And basically they just want them to appear to have been perfect, which I mean, none of us are, right? So it baffles me to a point. Like, I get it. You only want to remember the best things about that person to a point. But to me, I feel like when you wash away their struggles or their flaws or their problems or bad things that they may have done, you're washing away half of who they were. And the way that I see it is that we loved our spouses. We love anybody who passed away, right? Parents, kids, family, friends. We loved them despite their flaws. We loved them maybe partially because of their flaws. And I don't ever want to take that half of my spouse away. We are all deserving of love and admiration despite our flaws, with our flaws, with our brokenness. And our loved ones are still deserving of our grief and our sadness and of us feeling lost without them, even if they were a flawed, broken human like all of us are. My husband's story is a difficult one. He was a recovering alcoholic. He was sober for almost 3 years when he passed away. But before he got sober, things were really hard. We had terrible days. We were on the brink of divorce when he was drinking. We were in couples therapy, marriage counseling. We were in individual therapy. He was in AA. I was going to Al-Anon. And like, there were just really hard times that went along with that. There were hard feelings. There was struggle. There was heartbreak. There was anger. There was resentment. There was a whole lot of rough things that came with that. My husband also had a significant traumatic brain injury early when we just started dating. And that led to some significant depression and anxiety, and that presented its own set of struggles and work in our marriage and for him in himself. And when he died, a lot of people were like, he was the most perfect person on earth. Like, he was the most amazing human. And I'm like, no, he wasn't perfect at all. And I think the reason it hit so close to home for me, why I got really frustrated when people tried to paint him as this perfect person, is that one of the things I admired the absolute most about my husband was that he never stopped trying to do better. He never stopped trying to be a better person. He never said, well, I'm just an alcoholic and that's who I am and you have to deal with it. No, he said, okay, I need to be the best version of myself, for my wife, for my kids, for my family. And he did what it took. He never shied away from therapy or alcohol, like AA or any other group or support or anything that I asked him to do to try to help our situation. And where we're located, it is very rural, small town Wisconsin, and drinking is a way of life. It is what people, a lot of people do. There's drinking at every social event. There's drinking when you mow the lawn and drinking when you are grilling. And I mean, there are literally just groups of people who go to church on Sunday, and when they're done with church, they go get Bloody Marys. And that's just a way of life around here. So there are a lot of men that were his age that were struggling, with some of the same issues with addiction, and they weren't going to change. They weren't going to acknowledge that it was a problem. They weren't going to acknowledge that they were flawed. They just said, "Well, this is who I am, and this is what I'm doing, and that's that." And Christian was never like that. Christian never said, "Well, this is just who I am." He wanted to break generational curses. He wanted to break his bad habits. He wanted to do better. And despite all of the hard times that we had together, he was 100% deserving of my unconditional, unwavering love. He was worthy of me admiring his strength to continue trying. He was worthy of me admiring all of his good characteristics and good behaviors and amazing personalities outside of his struggles and his problems. And it's really frustrating for me sometimes because that is what I absolutely admire the most, and as about him was how hard he worked to be better. And that's something I want my kids to know about him. And if you paint him as this saintly human, you take that away from him. You take away half of who he was, and my kids will never get that like picture of their dad, who was this broken, hurting person at times, but he never quit. He never gave up. He never threw in the towel. He never said, "Oh, well, I guess like this is just who I'll be forever." And I want my kids to know that. I want my kids to know that it's okay to struggle. It's okay to be broken. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to fail. What's important is that you learn from that and you pick yourself up and you keep trying to do better. You keep trying to be better. You keep an open lines of communication with people in your life when you're struggling, and you're honest and you're authentic, you're vulnerable, and you let people see you and you let people help you. And maybe it's just my experience, but it was, I mean, as soon as he passed away, I can't tell you how many people I have heard say he was perfect. He was the most amazing person I'd ever met. He was amazing and wonderful and perfect. And I get it. You don't need to talk about it like, "Oh, well, he died, but he was an alcoholic." So, well, like, but it's still part of who he was. He is in no means perfect. And he never claimed to be, and he would never want to be portrayed that way. So it's just a really weird scenario to hear people talking about your loved one and glossing over any unsightly blemishes of their character when you loved them as a whole. You loved them, everything about them. And maybe you didn't love certain behaviors, maybe you didn't love certain characteristics, but maybe there was good things that came from those struggles that you don't want to let go of. You don't want to forget about that or unwrite that part of their history. But you also don't want to be seen as the widow who is like harping on the bad stuff they did. It's a really interesting, difficult, complex situation. So the way that I've ended up dealing with it is depending on my audience. When somebody begins to tell me how perfect my spouse was or how amazing he was, I try to breathe love and truth into those sentences, into that conversation. So I just try to be authentic and say, you know, he wasn't perfect, but he always tried to be better. He was flawed like all of us, but he was still a wonderful person deserving of all of our love and affection, and all of us missing him is despite all of that. And I think sometimes people just need permission to be authentic. There's a lot of people who maybe would be offended by that, and they only want to hear the good things. And that's just not how I see the world. Without the struggles, without the bad stuff, the goodness wouldn't feel as good. Where Christian and I got to in our marriage at the end maybe wouldn't have been as gratifying had we not gone through all the struggles that we went through in the beginning. So that is just my experience. If you guys have stories you'd like to share, I would absolutely love to hear them. There is a voice comment button on the home screen of my podcast. You can go ahead and send me a message that way. Or if you're finding me through the Widows group on Facebook, I would love for you to message me your stories and your experiences. So we're not doing this alone. We're not the only ones going through this. Next week, I am going to cover guilt, because there's a lot of it when you lose your spouse. Maybe there's guilt over something you said before they passed, or something you didn't say but you wish you would have. Maybe there's guilt about having a day where you feel okay, or guilt watching your children. It feels like there's that saying of, you know, somebody who sees the world through rose-colored glasses. And I definitely feel like after becoming a widow, I saw the world through guilt-colored glasses. It just kind of surrounded me like a fog. And I work really hard to acknowledge that feeling and then figure out how to deal with it and how to keep moving forward. And be able to put that guilt down. So that is on tap for next week. And I really hope you guys join me. Thank you for listening today. Keep your heads up while you're out there. Go out and find something that makes you feel good this week. And I am sending you all of my love and hugs over this next week.